the optimal life?
Being a reality TV star, not the easiest thing in the world.
It's not.
Not exactly what it's all cracked up to be, huh?
It's not. It's very, I mean, I thought being an entrepreneur was presented its challenges, but when you're put in the spotlight, it's like all of your deepest wounds just come at you at one time very, very strongly.
Yes.
Yeah.
How does that happen? You're on the season one of this experiment, we'll call it, Love is Blind. How did you even know about this? How did you audition for it? What's that process like?
Yeah. So for me, it was a little bit different than my castmates. It was season one and it was, you know, a pilot series. So it wasn't something that we were applying for. They were just recruiting, like kind of like secretly behind the scenes recruiting people. They had my file because they had the same production company or casting company, I guess, had interviewed me for Married at First Sight years prior to. So, and I did not do that show.
Okay. So just one show was enough. I got you.
Yeah.
So they're recruiting you behind the scenes. Is it like, what's the process like for people that don't know? I've always been curious in terms of auditions and interviews. I mean, do they go through every single detail of your history? What is all that about?
You know, I would say yes and no. We had multiple interviews. We did have like background check and like a psych evaluation test leading up until, you know, us going on and actually filming and getting accepted to be filmed. But I would say, I mean, yes, they were interviewing, you know, your past relationships and your dating style and things like that. Of course, those were the common questions. Tell us about your family, your upbringing, those kinds of things. But I think for me, at least when I was interviewing, it's like you're just excited because there's an opportunity and you're not in it yet. Because I want to say that they ask very similar questions while we're actually filming the show. And then it was getting real because then like all these like vulnerabilities were coming up and like very private stories that, of course, some people shared, some people did not. I'm a very open person. So I did. And I think I cried during every interview.
And they're like, she's perfect for this. This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how are they selling you on this thing? Because for people that I just started watching this season six, because my sister and my daughters, they're all into this stuff. And I'm like, this is the most, I think it's the craziest, most ridiculous idea or experiment in the world. How are they selling you on this thing? Like, hey, we're going to put you on a dating show, but you're not going to be able to meet like, what's their pitch?
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, that was so long ago. But I want to say what got me was obviously, yes, they said, you know, this is going to be like a blind dating show. You're never going to meet the person. Yes, they probably mentioned like you can get engaged and there's a wedding at the end. But at the time, that wasn't even like I was thinking I'm too picky. There's no way I'm going to match with someone. So I didn't even like hear those parts of the dialogue. It was just like, oh, you're going to blind date. Right. And so I think for me, I was just at a point in my life, two things. Like one, I had started this whole like self-love journey about 6 months prior to, and I was like, wow, like I'm not working a 9-to-5 job right now. Like I can definitely, like I have the time to be able to do something like this. And I was like, I'm ready. Like, I feel like really good about myself now. I feel like I've dated myself the last 6 months. I'm ready for love and I'm ready for marriage. I'm in, you know, my early mid 30s. But also I had been known for maybe being a little, when choosing partners, just not being more attracted to their looks than their personality at first. I mean, granted, I feel like that's everybody. We kind of judge a book by its cover at first because you don't know them until they talk, right? So, but I was dating just people that weren't treating me right. And that was my own stuff. But with that being said, I heard the concept of the show and I was like, well, I'll prove to everybody that I have depth and I can, you know, I can do this, you know, I can match with someone based on their personality alone and make that connection. So talk
to us a little bit, the intimacy of those conversations for someone that's never done this, because most people obviously haven't.
Right.
I mean, when you're thinking blind date, you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to go, I'll meet people and, you know, we'll go out and whoever they match me up with. When they said blind, this is literally blind. Like for people that don't know, you're in two separate rooms from the other person, and you're developing a relationship over the course of what, weeks? It's not long.
No, it's like a week and a half.
A week and a half. You're talking to someone through the other side of the wall, and you're, I guess the experiment is can we match where, like, this is a deep interpersonal connection, not knowing what each other looks like.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Not the Megan Fox. I look like Megan Fox, this girl from season 6. She doesn't look like Megan Fox. So you're connecting. When you were having those conversations with the guys you were talking to, did you really start developing feelings looking back, or was it something else?
No, it was definitely feelings. Like, I would get butterflies in my stomach talking to them. Like, it was anxious. It was exciting. I mean, I always relate to, granted, you know the person on the other end, but, like, you know, when you had, like, a wall phone growing up, you know, it's like, you're like sitting in your bedroom or your basement, you can't see the person. You know, now we have the ability to do, like, FaceTime and things like that. Like, it was, we didn't have that back in the day. So that's kind of how what reminded me of it. But yeah, I mean, I definitely was growing feelings for the few people that, I mean, Kenny was obviously, like, the person that I wound up with, you know, throughout the experiment, but there were a couple of other connections that were made too. And it really, I don't know if it was just because we couldn't, I mean, I'm a very open and vulnerable person, but I think for the guy side of things, obviously I didn't know them beforehand, but I feel like having that barrier of that wall allowed them to, you know, be open to crying and be open to being vulnerable because they couldn't see my facial expressions. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What I find interesting is that just watching some of the season 6 ones, that, you know, these people do, they're being vulnerable, they're being open, and you can see that the bond is growing between the wall. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they get together and it's like they just they lose all that intimate kind of connection.
Yeah.
What is that? What do you think that is? Because you've gone through it where you kind of are just being like, hey, I'm getting to know this person. And then all of a sudden, once you're actually in their presence, it's almost as if that depth goes away.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the whole thing of, like, for some, love is not blind. but I will say this, like, for me, my personal experience, when we had our reveal, when the doors opened for Kenny and I was not like, oh my gosh, man of my dreams physically. Like, I wasn't he was a handsome guy. I just wasn't, like, starstruck over the moon for him. But as soon as, like he hugged me, he gave me a kiss, I was like, okay, he kisses really nice. He kisses really well. And he was just really, I don't know, just very kind and gentle with me. And we only had like 15 minutes and then they, like, pulled us apart from each other. But then when we saw each other again, we were on our way to Mexico. And when we were in Mexico, like, we had it was weird. It was weird. Cause I'm like, I did just tell my life to this man, but I didn't see him. And now I'm seeing him and I'm trying to figure out if, like, the personality is matching what I'm seeing. And in my head and my heart, are they still connecting? Like, what's going on? And then we get to Mexico, all the rest of the couples were revealed. And I'm just like, I'm kind of taking a look around the room, looking at the other gentleman there. And I just remember, like, I remember having this moment where I looked at Kenny and I was like, yeah, this feels good. Like, it did start to connect for me. It was interesting.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
But the physical thing, I mean, the physical thing has to be, I don't care what you say, we're all attracted to some kind of like, you could fall in love with somebody's interpersonal and their heart and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to living with somebody and living life and developing feelings and doing all these things, there has to be a natural level of attraction, not one that's forced.
Right. I definitely agree with that. I mean, guys I've dated in the past, I mean, I've dated guys that I wasn't initially attracted to at first, a couple in my past. And then I just, over time of just being friends and being around them, their personality, I grew more of a physical attraction to them. And then I dated them, you know, so it's kind of interesting how it can go. And I've dated very, very good looking guys where the personality totally stunk. And I was like, this is not it.
Well, that's right. There's got to be that happy medium for sure. So what was it about your experience? Like, how do you, as you're going through it, you realize, hey, this isn't going to work. This isn't the right fit. What's happening?
Yeah. Like I said, my head and my heart just weren't connecting really. like the whole entire time, I don't know if it was just the intensity of like being so vulnerable so fast with someone. And like, I think everything was just presenting itself like, no, you're definitely just not ready for marriage. Because the production, they would be like, you know, people who elope all the time and like go and get married wherever, you know, and they're like, they don't need a bridal shower and a bachelorette party and all the things, right? And they don't have to have their mom at their, you know, trying on dresses and all those little conditions, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And I just remember it was like kind of towards the end because I kept beating around the bush, you know, because I was trying to navigate my feelings and everything. But towards the end, they kind of reiterated and they honed in on that again, those questions. And I was like, well, I guess I'm not in love with him. And like production just like put their like notepads down and they were like, that's all we needed to hear. And I was like, oh my God, geez.
Like, guys, couldn't you have led me there sooner?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I mean, you know, I was falling for the man, you know, I was loving the man that I was getting to know. I think that was it. I was just not there.
I wonder if you felt added pressure too, knowing that this is going to be on national TV. Everyone's going to be watching. Do you think that there's something subconsciously that you're going through this? Like, I really have to try to make this work, like force this to work.
Well, you know, maybe, but at the time too, and at the time when we were filming, the show had not been picked up by Netflix yet. So we were literally just filming a pilot. And of course, there was like a Netflix rep there and stuff, but we didn't know for sure that it was going to be aired.
Okay.
So I don't think that was, you know, there. I think it really was just like the pressure of it being like, you're meeting the family and you're doing this and you're looking at wedding dresses. And it's like, what? Like this stuff happens in like a 6 month time frame. And some people, you know, they get engaged and they don't plan their wedding for 5 years from their engagement. So I'm like, I got engaged in like 8 or 9 days and I am going to be married in 6 weeks. What? That doesn't add up.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a point in time as you're going through that process too, that you're like, this was a bad idea?
Probably, more so just like on the wedding day, because it got very real then, because I'm like, now I'm in a wedding dress. I'm not getting married. My parents are there seeing me in a wedding dress for the first time, not going to get married to someone. I mean, they adored him, but you know, I'm like, well, I felt like I like was robbing myself and my family from the real moment of when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I did. You know, I looked at your clip before we got on here for the interview, and I didn't really understand that. So what happened? They have you walk down the aisle as if it's your wedding day.
Yeah.
But you knew going to the altar that you were not getting married to him.
Correct. Because anything could change. Like, I think, you know, for us, they were literally like, your mind could literally change. I mean, in my mind, like probably two days before the wedding, I was like, tripping myself out. I was like, he checks off all the boxes. Our families get along. He's successful. He's nice. He's kind. He's compassionate. He feels emotionally safe. All the things. Mm. And I'm like, why wouldn't I marry this man? So, I mean, I definitely was like trying to talk myself into it or out of it or something. There's a lot of payoff going on in my head.
The confusion has got to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I wonder too, then, if a guy like that who's checking off all the boxes, have you ever thought to yourself, I wonder if I would have met Kenny outside of the show,
right,
if we would have had a better chance just through a natural progression of, you know, dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys are almost forced into something. Why did they do that? Do they do that on every season? They force you to walk to the altar before you make your announcement?
No, it was just our season.
Just your season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I noticed it in season two, there was a couple that didn't work out. And I was like, wait a minute. And then every season since then, I've noticed that too. Like even season six, are you like done? I don't want to spoil
it. You can spoil it. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, there's a couple that doesn't go through, but I like forgot. And I'm watching the like weddings and I'm like, wait, where's their wedding? And I was like, oh, wait, they kind of like ended it, I guess, already. But I'm like, damn it, we had to go through that.
You're like, God damn, I had to put on a wedding dress. Like, you have to have some regrets. I would assume that that's probably maybe your biggest regret is that you've put on a wedding dress already once in your life. You know, you can never get that moment back. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. But I assume that's probably one that sticks with you.
Yeah, you know, probably yes, deep down, but I think I've been able to like shift my perspective around it all. And even on the day, like I just kept telling myself, pretend you're acting in a movie. Pretend.
You were close. You were pretty
Yeah.
close. What's your take on this whole thing before we move on? What's your take on this whole Love is Blind experiment? Is it legit? Do you think it's a joke? What is it?
No, I do think it's real. It's definitely legit. I mean, two of the couples that got married during our season are still married, so they'll be married 6 years this November. And I've been around, you know, I've been around more so one of the other couples, and they, you know, I don't feel like they're being fake, and I don't think you could be fake for 6 years
Right.
either. So, yeah, I definitely, I mean, granted, I just don't, you know, for Kenny and I, it just wasn't meant to be, of course, but I can see how it could, you know, like I think if both of us were like, she's checking off the boxes, I'm checking off, like, let's just give it a whirl. I mean, I guess the worst thing that could happen is we like get a divorce or something, you know, but
Yes.
you know,
And that's not the end of the world either.
no, it's
Spoken from
not.
a divorced man here myself. So I'm living proof. It's okay.
Yeah.
I noticed one of your posts, you mentioned that the show kind of screwed with your mental health a little bit.
Yeah.
Dig into that. When did that begin, and what did it do to you?
It began after filming, honestly. yeah, the end of fall of 2018, I think because it was just, it's, I've worked with a lot of like life coaches and therapists and whatnot, and I understand like when you bring up like maybe like past traumas, there's a modality, like basically, like you kind of have to help facilitate the person through that trauma versus you're just digging it up, right? And I felt like production, and I, not that they're trying to do this, and I didn't have to talk about it, but I felt like production definitely dug up a lot of dark stuff for me and some traumas and whatnot. And I spoke about it, but it's like, okay, thanks for telling me. You can go now. And not anything bad. Like obviously they're just doing their job. They're not trained psychologists, you know. It's like they have to ask in, you know, questions. They have to actively question us. And I'm an open book, but I didn't realize. Anyways, so I think all that stuff was just open, and I was like, well, what do I do with all of this now? Plus, you know, it's like I got to know someone so intimately in a very short period of time, sharing very vulnerable things with him as well. And then it was over also. So it was like, it was a breakup that felt like had no closure, things like that. And I was just like, this, it didn't feel good. So I actually had worked with a, like a life coach, probably about a month afterwards, and she helped me, with everything. But then the show aired, and that was just a very big, huge other shit storm because, you know, we're, I think some people are always like, yeah, I want to be a celebrity. I want to be famous. Well, it's not all sparkles and rainbows when that happens. Like you get this super huge following that are projecting their thoughts and their opinions, you know, on your social media, on websites, wherever they can comment anything, sending you DMs, and you're gonna catch one. You're gonna see one of those negative thoughts. And I did. And although I was usually try, you know, I would see it and then like back out of my account, it still messes with your head, especially if you're like a recovering people pleaser. It's like, no, everybody needs to like me. And it, people did not like me based on what they saw on the show, you know, of how the outcome turned out. So, you know, everyone was Team Kelly, and then they were like, we are not Team Kelly anymore.
Wow.
So, I mean, granted, there were a lot of people that thought that the how the ending of our season ended for us, they felt like my character was just very empowered, and she said no at the altar, and good for her. And, you know, that was great that you knew what you wanted and you knew you couldn't make that commitment right there. So it was very empowering for some. And then for others, they were like, you did him dirty and blah,
Yeah,
blah,
of
blah.
course. Like anything, right? You're gonna have half the people that love you and half that hate you. It's
Yeah.
everything in life. You
Yeah,
can't win for everyone.
exactly. Exactly. So,
But I would also imagine too, like once it airs, when you start your dating life again, did that have an impact on your dating? You're going out with guys, you're probably wondering, do they see me on the show? Did that have any kind of negative impact on you?
No, I've never been like a big dater. Like
Okay.
I'll date, hang out, you know, and then I like go about my business and I submerge myself in like my career or business or something, and then I date a little bit. I'm like a seasonal dater, but With that being said, I think there was like a couple guys that I went on dates with, they didn't know. Like I remember one date, a waitress came up to and she was like, "You're Kelly from Love is Blind." And the guy like looked at me like, "Do I, what am I supposed to know something?"
That's funny.
So yeah. So I obviously had to, you know, open up and tell him about it. And then he was asking questions and whatnot. But yeah, so I haven't, I would say that my dating life is not as exciting as probably could be.
What specifically was causing you some heartache and some angst when it came to your self-worth? You made a post about, you know, 6 years later, I'm still single. It took me some time to get back to this place of strength and stability. What was causing that?
Yeah, I really think that there was a lot of abandonment, like self-abandonment. Like even, like I said, like with the show, like I'm a people pleaser, deep down people pleaser. I think many of us are. I felt like I was trying to accommodate what my audience wanted all the time. I saw one of my castmates make a post and I was getting caught up like in the metrics of things like, oh, she got like crazy engagement. Maybe I can create a similar post and then it'll get all that engagement. That engagement equals people like me. People want to see more of me. So I was definitely like, I could go back through my feed the last 4 years and pick out posts to be like, that is totally not like, that doesn't even feel good anymore that I posted that.
Wow.
It's just really, yeah.
It's that pitfall of social media. And it has to be completely 1,000 times magnified when it's somebody like you. As you mentioned, you now have a following. People know who you are. It starts becoming your identity.
Yeah.
And then people equate followings to success and riches and say, hey, people know me, but that doesn't mean that I'm thriving.
Right.
So, right. You have all these added pressures.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm sure a lot of them are in some way, maybe even self-inflicted because you're telling yourself a story, right?
Absolutely. And I totally agree with that. I want to say that that's probably 95% of it was self-inflicted. Like, oh, this is what my audience wants. I'm like, I don't know what my audience wants. Like they want me to be myself. That's what they want. And I'm giving them a little less version of that right now, because I think that they want this. Oh, I'm portrayed as a health coach, you know, on the screen. Well, they're looking for fitness and nutrition tips. So now I need to give them fitness and nutrition tips or exercise and things like that. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I've been a health coach for 10 years. I had transitioned my business. I was like, so I kept like doing things to like hang on and provide. And like I said, just people please, more or less. But it was more all the stories that
How did you break that cycle? How did you break that loop eventually?
It was probably about 6 months ago.
Okay, good.
It's been a journey. Been a journey. And it's, what's interesting is I think it's definitely like a trauma response for me, because I will feel like I might go to do something now and I'm like, Kelly, that's not you. Like that's you picking something else up. Like that's not what you really want to post about, just because you're seeing, like I'm being influenced still sometimes when I'm seeing things online. Sure. But anyways, like I said, I've worked with a lot of different coaches and therapists and just really figuring out, doing a lot of like inner child work. I've done a lot of that and knowing like I'm worthy because I am. People actually do want to see me. They want to get to know me. And if I'm not giving them the fullest version of me, then I'm doing a really big disservice, not only to myself, but to my audience. Like I'm really not creating the impact that I really want to make out there if I'm not fully being myself.
Right.
You know.
That's intense.
Yeah.
That's an intense, for especially to carry that for 5+ years.
Yeah.
And like you said, it still will creep it. I mean, this is work that it still creeps in.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about just getting off of social media?
Kind of, you know, actually I haven't posted anything in 5 days as of right now and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
There you go.
Yes and no. It's interesting. Like in hindsight, I wish that when the show aired, for like the first year and a half or even 6 months, that I had pulled back on showing up. But I feel like, because I was like talking on my stories, I was doing lives, I was creating content, all the things, and like every day probably. And it was extremely exhausting. And with that, again, I kind of got lost in the metrics because people were actually getting to know the real me that way. And it may not have been the girl. Like, I feel like they were looking people. Granted, I gained a following of like 400,000 people that were looking for me to do almost like spinoffs from Love is Blind in a sense. You know, they're like looking for more Love is Blind content.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about my business or, you know, whatever else I wanted to talk about in some way. So it's like I was like authentic sometimes, but then there are times I wasn't. Like I just was like a jumbled chaotic mess. But I felt like my engagement dropped significantly, like faster than some of my other castmates. Like I was looking, I was like, oh my God, these people don't like me as much, you know? And then it started messing with my head because my engagement dropped. But now, like I said, looking back in hindsight, I'm like, no, I was like creating my community. Like the real people that want to show up for Kelly Chase and not the girl they saw on TV.
Absolutely.
You know, and it takes time. Yeah, it's been a few years.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. Well, and you're not alone. I mean, there's got to be gazillions of people in that same kind of headspace. And, you know, they're trying to grow something or a brand and whatnot. And they're comparing themselves to everybody else.
Totally. Yep.
And they're just, and they become infatuated with it. I tell my kids too, that my girls are on TikTok and I'm just like, you know, you have limited time to be on this freaking app that's going to burn and fry your brain. Yeah. That's all it's doing. Scroll. That's all it's doing. And that's the thing. Nobody cares. Like you're creating the story in your head. People are on to the next. They're
oh,
just,
for sure.
You know, like you're creating, why did this have more engagement? Well, maybe the algorithm. And then because of some crazy algorithm or some weird thing, you're going, I'm not worthy of, you know, imposter syndrome. Nobody likes me, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly. And granted, those weren't like conscious thoughts, but those were the thoughts that were going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you really have shifted over the years. And one of the things you're doing now is you're empowering women specifically through mindset and self-help and self-acceptance and finances and all these different things. Talk to us a little bit about the services you're providing now to help other women, you know, thrive and live a better life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I launched a podcast in 2021, have taken a couple breaks, I think just because of my mental chaos. But again, just because of these last 6 months, you know, just redefining who I am and realigning that I'm like, okay, so I'm relaunching my podcast, Chase Life with Kelly. But granted, there's 100 episodes. It's me. You're getting the real deal. But I have a lot of entrepreneurs to, what am I thinking? Like money mindset coaches, relationships. We dive into a lot of different topics because my journey has not been one thing. You know, I feel like I've been challenged in various areas of my life and I've learned a lot of tools from various, like I said, coaches. I've worked with financial coaches or money, you know, mindset coaches to relationship, to life coaches, to health coaches, to whomever. And I feel that, you know, health and wellness, quote unquote, is a 360 degrees of all of that. You can't be like, yeah, if your physical health is great, okay, well, like, let's look at your relationship health and your nutritional health, your career health, your spiritual health, financial health, all of that. Is that all good too? Because typically it's not. There's something out of alignment. And not to say that everything is going to be balanced all the time. It takes work. It takes boundaries. It takes a lot of self-love and self-care to make sure that you're really honing into each area and TLC, you know, TLC to each one of those areas. So I have, like I said, I just don't really do the health coaching because I've outgrown talking about nutrition and fitness in the sense of like coaching one-on-one. It's very customized. I'm not certified to like administer blood work for people. It's very, very customized. So I'm like, I can't do that. We can talk about the whole 360 degree of things. And that's what I would, over the last couple of years, I started doing with my clients. Okay. So some of my clients would come to me and for relationship advice, but then I start talking about, okay, well, what do you do for your career? Do you have a side business? You know, we kind of start going down that path too. And, oh, you want to make more money? Okay. Well, why are you afraid? Like, I love helping people overcome their limiting beliefs and expand and really just like step into that next level version of themselves and see that there's so much more opportunity than what's presented, what they can see in front of their face. So through the subconscious reprogramming, all of that, it's been my journey and I want to help other people step into that as well and learn the tools that I have in those various areas.
I would imagine you could also help a lot of people that are either former, current, or future reality TV contestants.
Yeah, I thought about it.
You know, because I have to believe that you are far from the exception. You're really the rule in that regard. Because these people that you go on there, you get thrust into the spotlight. Back 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you can get on a reality show and then nobody would ever hear from you or see you again. There was no social media.
Yeah.
And now you're thrust out there in front of hundreds of thousands and you put out and you have this pressure that's probably unlike anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You must have had some dark times where you're sitting around over the last few years with maybe your mom or your family or something. I mean, have there been times where you're just like, I don't even want to show my face in public?
No, I would say, I mean, not as much now, but I did have like social anxiety. Granted, our show came out when COVID hit the streets as well.
So everyone was just sitting around watching the show, right?
Yeah. So it was really funny because like the first Atlanta, Georgia, we were like the first city and state to open up after like during COVID. And our restaurants, you know, they had like the drive-up service or walk-up service, that kind of thing, not like inside. And I went to go pick up some food one night and these people were sitting on picnic tables and this guy comes up to me and he was like, sorry to bother you, but my wife thinks she knows you. And so I like walk over there and she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you're the girl from Love is Blind. And she's like, I'm so sorry if I'm bothering you. And I was like, you're the first person who's ever came up to me because I've been in my house for 4 months.
Wow. You're like, actually, this is kind of cool. Thanks.
I know. Yeah. I was like, keep talking to me. I don't care. It was really fun. But no, I would say that, but I did have social anxiety because I'm like, and this may sound prideful or conceited and or arrogant in a sense, but it's like you go out because and you know people know you, so it's like I felt like I constantly had my head on a swivel in a sense to be like, are people looking at me, okay, or is that person just looking at me because they think I'm cute or are they like familiar with me? I don't know. It was just like this constant anxiety feeling. But I would say there was one situation though, right after the show aired too, it was during Black Lives Matter. I accidentally said something politically incorrect on my social media. And I definitely took a week off from social media then.
Oh, they didn't like you. You got attacked by the mob, huh?
Yeah.
You got attacked by the mob.
Yeah. So yeah. I would say that was my darkest time.
People are nuts. You know, I've learned too that the only people that are really commenting and having the time to be negative towards you, those are people that are just unhappy in their own lives.
I agree.
Is there anyone that's happy that's taking the time out of their day to go comment on people's posts that to make them feel bad about themselves? You can't show me one thriving, successful person that does that.
No,
you really can't.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chase Life with Kelly. Yes, I saw that you haven't posted episodes in some time. Hopefully we'll get back to seeing some new ones.
Yes, soon. Very soon.
Look forward to seeing that. We both had Mary. Well, when she was on, I think she was Mary Fitzgerald when she came on mine.
Yeah.
So I saw you had her on this past year. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I loved chatting with her.
Chase Life with Kelly. We've linked that in the show notes. We've also linked your Instagram, Chase Life with Kelly. Anywhere else you want people to find you online? I dare say social media.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have been posting more regularly to TikTok. I do have a TikTok. It's I am Kelly Chase. And then my YouTube is, you know, youtube.com/ChaseLifeWithKelly also. So all my podcast episodes are videos as well. So people can go and actually watch my show. And I posted a couple of like short reels to it. Not many, but just a couple. So most of it's just my show.
Final question for you. Some young ladies, maybe men too, but I know you focus mostly on women, are struggling with something maybe similar to you. They don't have to even be celebrity or any kind of, you know, high visibility, but just the same kind of stuff, trying to brand, and they're in their head about social media and growing and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. What's some high level, low hanging fruit advice you can give these people?
Yeah. You can't just say, well, be you, be true to yourself. But that is like my best advice. Create more than consume. Because if you're not consuming, you're less likely to be influenced by other people's social media and feel like, oh, well, their stuff's, I'll never be able to create something like that, you know? But if you're out there just creating content and putting it out there, then you don't have time to go and consume and scroll for hours and hours. So create more than consume.
Actually, I do have one other, that's great advice. One more final question for you. What's your favorite reality show?
I don't watch a lot.
You're scarred. She's scarred for life.
I do like Love is Blind. I do like The Bachelor. I've only seen a couple of seasons, but that one hooks me sometimes. Otherwise, I did binge watch a whole thing of like Summer House one time.
There you go.
It's like a reality show, isn't it? It's like on Bravo.
Good enough. Hey, Kelly, wishing you all the best. Awesome connecting with you.
Awesome connecting with you too. Thank you for having me.